Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday so far. Going to get a lot better if the Grizzlies do the right thing tonight. I'm not sure, because I haven't thought about many Brad worst case scenarios. Have you? I'm not sure. I haven't thought about worst case scenarios, so I'm not sure that they could screw it up. I'm sure they can screw it up.
Can you screw this up?
Not tonight, right?
No.
Tonight, even if it's a guy we don't like, we'll talk ourselves into it at least, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless it's Josh, get your ass on out of here.
Unless it's him,
then I will come in here disappointed tomorrow.
Anybody
I'm sorry,
but Giddy.
That's the one guy I'm just taking a stand on.
Me too. You and I are in lockstep on this cat.
I think I'd rather the Grizzlies trade back than take Josh
Giddey. Go back
Giddey,
to 17.
Who's 6'9", can play make, but can't play a lick of D or shoot.
You know, Chris made a good point about him, and I know we got a lot of kid too. He's also a point guard. You have a point guard.
I told you, he's a playmaker, and that's his best skill. Well, the guy that's going to be doing most of the playmaking is Ja Morant.
That's
okay,
right.
That's not. And if you can't shoot or defend, how are you going to be on the floor with Ja Morant?
Yeah, you don't need that.
The big question. That's what we've always said about Giddey here this week. That's my one guy. I've taught myself into Franz Wagner and others. We'll do a lot of that today. Yeah. Grizzlies got the number 10 pick. You can hear the draft right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Just tune in to us. We got you covered. And now you won't have to wait as long. With the Grizzlies having moved up to number 10, we'll see if they move up further. I'm in a Giddey mood today. I'm not sure.
Me too.
I'm not sure if you can tell.
I can tell.
Because I'll tell you what y'all not going to get today. You're not going to get sad, scared Jason. And that's what I've sounded like, I think, I'm ashamed to say, when it's come to conference realignment and the Oklahoma-Texas thing, because it always sort of the stories trickle down. We localize. We talk about what's going to happen to Memphis. And you guys know my thing. I've been in the boat with Jeff since last week.
Yep.
That, oh, man, feels like Memphis is going to get left out again. But maybe the tables have turned, BC.
Boy, it feels like it.
Maybe Mike Oresko, commish of the AAC.
Feels like it.
Does he deserve a respect burger, BC?
I think he'd need multiple. He might need a damn respect steak after this is over.
Dog, Mike Oresko, all of a sudden, I love you. According to Dennis Dodd, the Big 12, of course, we've seen the story. They're concerned that the AAC, led by one Mike Oresko, is actively attempting to absorb, assume, whatever word you want to use right there. We're going to eat you up. All eight remaining league members once Texas and Oklahoma are gone. That's the AAC sucking it up.
Please.
Now, that plan.
Love it.
Talking about where I was coming from. That you're not going to get scared, Jason, on that. You're going to get excited, Jason, because that's dog-eat-dog.
Yes.
And that's you being the big dog. Go for it. Might put Bob Bowlesby out of a job.
Yeah.
Eat that thing up. You're talking about adding eight teams. Now, look, Big Ten's going to want, you know, probably going to want some of this. You know, Kansas basketball, yeah, you want. Kansas football, you can pass on. But my point is, there are going to be other conferences that want, perhaps, some of those. Iowa State's on the move.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing. That want. But if you're talking about eating up the whole if you're the Big 12, when it comes down to it, and you're those schools, forget Bowlesby, because you'll be out of a gig,
right.
Obviously. You get absorbed. But if you're the Big 12, what's a better deal? Look at what's going on in the AAC right now as thought of and recognized as the best conference football wise, basketball solid outside of the Power Five, especially in football.
Yep.
What's better for those Big 12 members to go each their own way, hoping that somebody's going to give you or to all go collectively to what could be you add those eight to your You got 11 on both sides, football and basketball, 12 total would be 20. Yep. 19 of each, I think, playing basketball. And because remember, what, Navy doesn't play basketball and Wichita State doesn't play football. So it puts you at 20 members, but 19 on each side in both sports.
There. Oh,
I mean, there's some balance. There's
beautiful.
Some natural balance. And all of a sudden, man, you're a conference that folks got to look at and respect.
So good.
Yes.
Are
you the SEC? Certainly not SEC football. No. But are you somebody that ESPN? And here's the difference, y'all. This is why I'm ultimately giddy. It's not just the thinking of Memphis as the big dog or being part of the big dog that eats the little dog here. It's the fact that you might have a giant like ESPN pushing it on. We'll get to all of that. That's what I'm talking. Aaron Rodgers, too, press conference yesterday was pretty historic. 32 minutes of greatness.
This is an all-timer.
Man, laid it all out.
Damn.
You know, I suppose you would put it, grievances with Green Bay, and boy, did he nail them to a wall.
Sure did.
Just about every situation that he's had issue with them with, he laid out in 32 minutes of it, and Green Bay really had to just say, here's Aaron in a press conference, here's what he said. I suppose they're going to, at some point, try to circle the wagons and say, hey, look, we did a little bit of this beforehand. They're going to have to do it again. We don't mistreat our players. We love our players. We include Aaron Rodgers in all of our decisions or the ones we think are most important. They've got to do something because he nailed them. And the tone was, bottom line it, we'll get into a little bit more of it in the rundown. This is it. The idea there might be two more, I just
one
don't see it.
It's one and done.
Aaron set the tone yesterday that this is done. And again, we talked about it. Maybe it's all sort of becoming even more clear. That tweet or Instagram post that him and Devontae Adams put out together of Jordan and Pippen, fist bumping?
Yeah.
Last dance.
Sure.
That's what it is.
This is the
last dance.
Yeah.
Aaron knows it. Devontae knows it.
Yeah.
This is it. And so
Randall Cobb
was interesting to see him be a player be that open about what goes on behind the scenes last night, yesterday in that press conference.
I'm interested in your take. I realize it was one sided. There is a little bit of another side to this, I think. I don't know.
It doesn't sound like situation by situation. He pointed out how he was not even, involved in some of the cuts of wide receivers. How does Aaron Rodgers not picking his wide receivers?
I agree with that.
How is that? What he's three-time MVP, Super Bowl winner?
All of that's true. The one point that the reporter made with the question, well, Aaron, if you would have had your choice and all these guys you mentioned, they all didn't pan out in their new teams. The idea that they would have all been like these perfect players if they would have stayed in Green Bay is just wrong.
Well, let's be real, too. That they stand a better chance to be a better player with Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
He makes receivers out of projects
and everything too.
Else.
I hear his point on that, too, but I think it's probably somewhere in the middle on that point. I'm with you. I'm with Aaron.
If you're Green Bay, why are you going to cross Aaron? He's a
three-time
MVP.
No, you don't screw with him.
Cut his receivers. Don't even talk to him about it. Give me a break.
He's the best you had.
At 11:25, we're going to talk to NBA Draft Odyssey NBA Insider, 2008 NBA Champion, too, Brian Scalabrine. We'll see who his guy is, might be a 10 for the Grizzlies.
Ask him to pick.
Which one of the top four or five guys in this draft is he most confident in? I mean, there is that chance the Grizzlies still could move up.
Yeah.
I just think it feels like you're going to have to pay a huge price to do so. We'll see if they do. Insider calls, of course, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. At noon, going to do the rundown. We'll talk about that Aaron Rodgers press conference. We'll talk about Dennis Dodd's story about the AAC going after those remaining members of the Big 12. My gosh, I get giddy. And it's not just the football side. Thinking about the basketball matchups that you would have. You could call that a super conference.
Absolutely.
Not just by number, but by what you would have in there.
Memphis, Kansas.
I mean, Baylor and Houston, two Final Four right there in basketball, obviously. That's the basketball side of things.
Yeah.
Most of this, and it's run by, and the engine, and it always has been and always will be, is football.
Mm-hmm.
But I get giddy thinking about some of the basketball matchups you would have in a conference that big. We'll do that in the rundown. A lot more to do there. Did you see was it Jackson Hayes getting a fight with police? The Pelicans big guy?
I saw this.
That's over at TMZ.
Yeah.
That one looked kind of scary.
Bad look.
I read some details that there were screams of a woman and all kind of stuff. We'll see what get into some of the details of that story. And then at 1:25, we're going to talk to Joe Mullinax. He's site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues and a host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's got the Memphis Grizzlies draft primer posted at grizzlybearblues.com. We're going to talk to him specifically about what he thinks Grizzlies going to do at 10. And then again at 40. Again, there could be movement. Are they going to go up? Could they go back? We'll ask him at 1:25. He's got his primer up right now at grizzlybearblues.com. I encourage you all to go read that. But before all that, it's NBA draft night. It's exciting. It's an exciting time for the Grizzlies. And again, there's a bunch of big stories out here. And college football is out there to be had, and maybe there is a new twist for Memphis. But for me, this is a day, Brad, that I've been looking forward to now for weeks. And let's go back to how we started.
Put a little theme music here, I think.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it gets us in the mood.
NBA on ESPN music, you know.
I've talked myself. You guys know where I'm at. If you're just talking about standing pat, my hope for the Grizzlies is that Moses Moody will be there at 10.
Me too.
My fear, though, Brad Carson, is that he won't. Is that he will be gone by then. That Moses Moody will not be there to be taken for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's my fear. And so there is part of me that's hoping to still see an aggressive Grizzlies team tonight try to move up. Whether that's to get a Moses Moody, whether it's to get super aggressive and try to go get the number 3 pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers like we've seen speculated and reported about. Either way, there's a part of me that wants the Grizzlies to continue to be aggressive. But, Brett, I think they've already, and clearly they have. I mean, are there many people still out there saying the Grizzlies didn't do a good job in this JV trade? I guess there are some that are still, you know, want to hold, thinking about the JV angle of this and how you could take a step back on the court.
Yeah.
But from the idea of picks and from moving up to 17 to 10, where you stand a better chance, Brad, to get a difference maker, more importantly, on the same timeline that Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and most of the rest of this young team is. That's what you want. So having this opportunity to go up there is exciting. For me, it's Moses Moody, but the point is now, other than Josh Giddey, and we've gone down the reasons of why we don't like Josh Giddey all day long.
Yeah.
I can almost talk myself into all of the guys that you've seen sort of rumored and speculated for the Grizzlies. Wagner, unlike Giddey, checks more boxes.
I agree.
Defensively is expected to, that's expected to translate over in the league. You've sort of read about the shot and how they expect that to be polished by the time he's in the league for a few years. It's better than clearly than Giddey's is.
Yeah.
And so from Franz Wagner, how high is the ceiling, you'd have to ask yourself? I guess if we're asking about Franz Wagner, the question would be, Brad, is it sexy enough for you? Because I can tell you that Moses Moody, to me, thinking about him with Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks
or
and that
Book
sort
Knight,
of...
Or Book Knight, maybe?
Or Book Knight. Now, he's going to go higher, too. You're not getting
they're not
him
getting
at
10. They're not getting him at
10. But I can tell you that, to me, feels sexy. I can feel higher upside on that than I can Franz
Wagner.
Kispert? But, mm-mm.
No,
you know where I'm at.
Later.
I don't know if Kispert's going to go top 10. We shall see. I've talked myself out of that. Yeah. Back to Franz Wagner. He's safer than some of those other guys, maybe with a higher ceiling. But I have talked myself into he checks enough boxes for you in terms of what he can do and what pro scouts see with him that's a guy who, look, you get him at 10, you've helped yourself. Then to me, it's been worth. Now, he's still got to pan out, but I don't see bust. The bust chance with Franz Wagner, I just feel like is low. Ceiling lower than some of these other guys, but bust chance I don't feel like is very high at all with him. I think I think you're getting a solid player who could contribute for years for you. You know, we'll see at what level. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I could talk myself into it. Thing is about it, when you move up to 10 from 17, you're hoping you can get a star. That's where you take the
spark.
Big swing.
Right.
And that's why for me it would be a Moody or someone before Franz, hoping Brad to get that big star.
Yeah.
But I've talked myself into Moody. Is there anybody you've talked yourself out of other than Giddey? Giddey and you're not Corey Kispert at 10, right?
We're all in agreement on that.
Good.
I think if you wanted Kispert, you would have just waited around to 17, hope he drops.
I'm looking for ways, Brad. The reason I ask you that question is because I'm looking for ways that we would come away disappointed tonight.
And I'm
narrowing it down that there are only a handful, if not one, for me, and that's Josh Giddey at 10. I don't think there's many ways here you're going to come away. Because remember, the Grizzlies just didn't move up from 17 to 10 either and from 51 to 40. They added a first-round pick to of the Lakers next year, top 10 protected, that you can also use.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to move or not, whether they keep that one, you know, use the Golden State one to move up high, whatever they do, you've got more ammo in the tank. So that, too, was one of the big benefits of making the trade. That said, there's this chance to get a star on your timeline, unlike much as he contributed, as much as we all loved him, Jonas, who was not on your age timeline, frankly, and frankly was due for a raise and years, more importantly, that don't quite fit with what you're trying to do. So there's this chance here to go up and maximize giving up a good player, clearly a big part of your rotation.
I think you and I are on the same page. The only reason I talk about Giddey the way I talk about him is playmaker, point guard. We don't need another point guard.
Gavarni loves him.
And everybody, there are a lot. Like,
so
Drew
much
Hill
of it is because
him.
Of the playmaking,
Drew
though,
Hill,
right?
Drew Hill said he loves him for all of the upside stuff. Here's the thing. If you draft Giddey, I would love to be wrong if they did draft Giddey. In other words, if you draft a 6'9 guy who can play wing and learn how to shoot, then that'd be great. But I would be much rather prefer like a Moody if you can move up. I don't think you're going to get him at 10. I like Book Knight, but I don't think you're getting him at 10. The other two that I like, and I think you're right, Kispert, let him drop. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer are a couple of names that I've seen floating around. What do you think of those guys?
Well, you know where I'm at on Keon. We talked about him in our Odyssey NBA mock draft. He was a guy who, at that point, you're looking at, okay, with the 17th pick,
later,
would he be there? But he has fallen.
He's really dropping.
I don't know if you've seen it, but there are some that have got him sort of dropping back 20s. In that range now.
Yeah.
Gavoni's got him at 16 right now, going to OKC. The Keon Johnson, for me, checks all the boxes except shooting.
Right.
But again, unlike Giddey, right, it's most of the boxes are checked.
Right.
And for him, defensively, you feel like he can be a dog. You like his size at 6'5".
Yes.
And here's the thing about it, and I guess this would go for a Giddey, too, who's 18 years old. As my friend Anderson reminds me, he loves Giddey. But you have time.
A lot
time.
Of people like Giddey, man. We could be wrong on him.
This argument goes for Giddey as well. You would have time with Keon Johnson to develop the shot.
Right.
You would have time because of the you may not make the playoffs next year, but you're certainly not going to be a top four seed. So you can wait around on that jumper to come around. The issue for me is Giddey, it's jumper and defense.
Yeah.
Does he ever get the defensive side? That's the part of it. I know Keon Johnson's going to be able to defend at this level. Yeah. He's athletic enough. The man's got a 48-inch vertical. And, guys, forget the basketball part of it.
Like that.
Just think about the, like I told you when I broke him down, the alley-oops between him and Ja Morant. The man got a 48-inch vertical.
Sick.
It would be some exciting basketball.
Yes.
But, Brad, I think in moving up, you asked me about Keon. In moving up from 17 to 10, I think you've taken yourself beyond him. You've got a chance to get someone can be better now and perhaps later, like a Moses Moody. Keon would have been nice if you're still sitting at 17 and he drops to you. I'm not sure. I'm very sure. You don't take him at 10.
Okay.
You don't take him at 10. That's too high for me.
One name I haven't brought up that has been rumored to possibly drop. Now you may need to move up a couple of slots to get him as Kuminga. You might have to move up to 7.
I'm scared of Kuminga. I wouldn't put
what
him.
What if he dropped to 10?
I would not. If he dropped to 10, I think you almost got to take him.
You got to take him.
Is he going to drop the 10? No.
Probably
he's not going to drop the 10. I don't think he gets past Orlando at 8.
Mm-hmm.
If he dropped the 10, yes, you got to take him. But what concerns me is the drop.
Right.
What concerns me is, okay, I know with Jalen Green we say, well, he did it in the G League, Jason, and it was solid, and he looked good, he looked the part. Number one, I haven't seen a ton of Kuminga, so that doesn't help. Didn't see a ton of Jalen Green, but we know Jalen Green's game well around here in Memphis.
Penny and he was the best player on that G League squad.
There is no question about it. But he's got the explosiveness, right?
Yeah.
But raw.
Yeah.
And again, it's about, for me, it's about boxes checked. And how many does Kuminga check off?
He's a wing.
Not enough for me is my point. Not enough for me. Now, again, if he's at here's my point. I'm not moving up to get Jonathan Kuminga. Some have speculated that might be what the Grizzlies. I'm not moving up to get him. If he drops to 10,
then
yes.
You got to select him there. Yeah, fair enough.
That's a lot of value dropping down.
Yeah.
Again, Gavoni's got him at number 8 right now going to Orlando. Jonathan, he scares me. I'm not as sure on him, or I don't have as much conviction about him as I have for some of these other guys. Going to be exciting tonight. There's no question about it for the Grizzlies. And then, I mean, you've got the number 40 pick as well and a chance to do something there right now. You know, I haven't gone as far down as to draft the guy Gavoni's got going to the Grizzlies at number 40 from Paris. He's the shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
Juhan Begarin. I can't tell you a damn thing about him. But who I can tell you about, if he's still around there, and I'm starting to think he won't be, he's been a big riser since the combine, basically
Grimes.
Since working with Penny Hardaway, yes.
Yep.
And we talked about this when these workouts started, about what Quentin Grimes was doing with Penny Hardaway. And if you've read anything about him, especially from Gavoni, that Quentin has shown more so as a point guard, 6'5 point guard, right, a sort of vision and playmaking ability that he never showed in college. Now, he wasn't asked really to do that. They had that covered already. But Penny Hardaway clearly has had something to do with that, working with Penny. And so here's the point. I think he, because of his, he's already a good player coming out of a Final Four contender, clearly. But I think after his work with Penny Hardaway, he's worked himself in a very good combine. Yeah. He's worked himself into a late first-round pick. Travis King, if I'm not mistaken, who we know well here from Memphis, is representing Quentin Grimes, and they're raving. They think they've risen up probably into a first-round draft. My point, if he would happen to be there still at 40, I'm loving Quentin Grimes. You talk about the shooting. Comes in, knockdown shooter. Guy played defense for Kelvin Sampson down at Houston. He's got that side of it, too. And Penny Hardaway feels like he's put sort of a finishing touch on him for the times that Quentin Grimes is going to have to be, and there will be times, on the ball playing in a point guard role with that size.
One more.
I would love me some Quentin Grimes at 40. I just don't think he's going to drop that far now. I think Penny doesn't help him too much.
There is a guy from Illinois, Io DeSumo.
I'm getting all these folks sending me the giddy stuff that he's going to be good. Since we've taken this stand, but go ahead.
They have him moving up as high as in the 20s.
If the Grizzlies could get him late, they'd love it. Was it McDonough?
I think it was McDonough. I think it was asking about second rounders. You're exactly right.
Yeah,
that's who it was.
McDonough.
And he brought him up early, like last week, I think, with you. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to drop that much. He may be in the 20s, some mocks have him at.
Gavone's got him going number 32, second pick of the second round to the Knicks. Shooting guard out of Illinois.
Yep.
You saw him. He's relentless for the most part. John loved him all season long, but his stock has fallen.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. There was a time when folks thought he was going to be a lottery pick for sure, and maybe as high as a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit further down, but yes, great value if you could get him in the second round. Again, Gavone's got him at number 32. He's got, for the Tennessee folks listening, Jaden Springer, too, he's got him to start the second round, number 31, going to the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the shooting guard out of Tennessee. Should have been, you would have thought when the Tennessee season started last year, they're going to have two first-rounders with him and Keon. I still think there's a good chance Jaden Springer goes in the first round, and Tennessee's got a couple of them with him and Keon. But either way, if he goes to start the second round, maybe you end up in a better spot, especially if it's going to the Bucks, who get that pick from the Rockets. A lot going on tonight. Right now, like we said, so far the biggest splash, pre-draft at least, has been the Memphis Grizzlies and trading Jonas and moving up. Combined 18 spots with their two picks. Feels like there's going to be a lot more in terms of trades and those kind of action once we get started, get kicked off. Perhaps then the Grizzlies see, if our guy's not going to be there at 10, I don't think you can rule out the chance of them moving back if that guy's not there. So we'll talk about that, continue to talk about what could happen tonight with the NBA draft, who we like, who we don't like. We'll do that, too, with Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine doing on the other side of this break, breaking it all down right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the line now is Odyssey NBA Insider, 2008 NBA champion Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He joins us now. Let's make him Brad the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
What do you think, Brian? We going to get crazy tonight, you think? A lot of trades. For now, it seems like the Grizzlies have made the biggest, at least pre-draft, splash with their trade of Jonas Valanciunas moving up from 17 to 10. What you think? You think it's going to get hot and heavy?
It does sound like that. There's like something it was brewing for a few days. I like the move that they made. I know that Pelicans were looking to clear space, and you guys are looking to move up in the draft. And I actually think there's a big difference in this particular draft at 10 than there is at 17.
All right.
So I'm excited. I mean, I hope we're going to do these calls next year as well. And I just love the way Memphis plays. I love their grit and grind, how it used to be and how it still is. Different, but it's still, you like their, I like their toughness. So, you know, I root for Memphis all the way. But I'm curious on what type of wing they can get. Mm-hmm. Are they looking for a guy that can have, you know, a limited potential on being like a go-to guy? Or are they looking for a guy that could come in right away and play off of guys like Dylan Brooks and John Moran?
So which one should they be looking for, then, Ryan? You know the timeline of these guys and that they're not – hell, they may take a step back next year, you know, trading Jonas. But the point is they've got the eye toward the future. Should it be a guy that they can take a year or two to develop? Maybe that shot comes around, or should it be a guy that can contribute right now with the timeline they're on? Which one do you think it should be?
You know, so I think it's more about like finding that individual player that you think has that special quality.
Okay.
You know, like a guy like Book Knight, you know, and up in Connecticut. There's been a lot of talk of Moses Moody. I think he's not necessarily like a elite ball handler, but he's the type of guy that plays off the ball, could be a 3-and-D guy. Don't love his decision-making, and he's not a great finisher, but, you know, like guys with length who could shoot. I mean, those are guys that could fit in. But if it just depends. Like, even I'd be really curious on Jonathan Kuminga. You know, Jonathan Kuminga, he's definitely not going to be ready, you know, next year. Oh, but right. In 3 years from now, 2 years from now, he could be – you know, a top player where you're like, man, how the heck do we get this guy at 10th? So I think it's just a matter of, you know, you have to weigh out how good you think these top prospects are.
Mm-hmm. Where do you come down on Franz Wagner?
High, really high. Wow. So he'd be a perfect guy that fits in with what Memphis does and wants to and play like, and he could fit in and play with them starting next year and have an impact. But his upside, he's never going to be an on-ball guy that creates or draws two or runs pick and roll. But outside of that, I really love him. And I talked to a few people that have worked out against him. They say he has major, major swag and toughness. So that matters a lot to me. Yeah. A lot of these guys, to me, a lot of false bravado when they come into the NBA. They tell you what they're going to do. They're not going to show you what they're going to do. Wagner, to me, is a guy that has, like, I don't want to say like crazy upside, as in he's going to be a five-time All-Star.
No, I'm with you.
I do think right away that he can come in and impact the game.
I'm with you because I've looked at him more. I've studied him more. Helps me studying him doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to who the pick is going to take. But I've come around on him. Who is he like? Is there anybody he's like, Brian? I hate the comps, especially if we try to make them All-Stars. But is there? You talked about that toughness. Is there anybody that you think of in the league right now that he could be like? You know what I'm saying, or whose game is similar?
Remember Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he's a little bit like that. Like he's oversized. Like Dunleavy was tougher than people think. You know, like he was a good player. You know, he's just like maybe he has a ceiling to be. Like,
there's
I don't
a ceiling
know if
there.
Ever,
I'm with you. I kind of feel what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like if you had a guy like that on your team, like Dunleavy was a good player for a long time. So maybe, and I'm not saying he's Klay Thompson, but he has like, you know, like he can move without the ball and shoot off the move. And, you know, like with Memphis and the way that they play, they want to push the ball up the floor. You know how valuable it is for a guy to get out in front, sprint to the corner, space the floor. If you ever watch like Duncan Robinson play, I'm not saying he's Duncan Robinson, but you watch how people react to Duncan Robinson in transition. It opens up the floor for everybody else. And if you got the guy already, you got John Moran, a guy who can get downhill that can attack in transition. You need guys that can space the floor. So, yeah, I'd be high on that. But the question would just be, like, when I watch Book Knight from UConn, he reminds me of, like, a Jamal Murray type. So think about, like, if let's just say he develops into Jamal Murray. If you had John Moran and Jamal Murray, you guys that backcourt would be pretty nasty, you know.
Right, no
so
question
it's like
about
one
it.
Of those things where you got to look at the guy and say, does he have star quality? Like a guy obviously can't. You're not going to get Jalen Green, but he has star quality.
Absolutely.
He has the ability to be a stud player. But you know, like you're not getting him at 10, so you got to try to find like there's going to be someone that drops, and whoever that guy is. If you think about a couple years ago, remember Michael Porter Jr.?
Yep.
He dropped to 14. And because of the back issue or whatever it was, but there could be a guy like that where Memphis could roll the dice on.
Well, your boy, it sounds like your boy Book Knight's going to be, he's a riser. He's not going to be one of those guys. Like, he's going to get snapped up, and that he wouldn't, you know, probably too high for the Grizzlies to get him at 10. In terms of the guys at the top of the draft, Brian, you know, Cade at number one, you mentioned Jalen Green. I'm with you. There's star power there. We know him well because Penny was trying to get him at Memphis. Which one are you the most, I suppose, have the most confidence in terms of the transition over, you know, whether they can be a star or not? Which one are you most confident in? Out of those top guys of Cunningham, of Green, and Evan Mobley, throw Suggs in there if you want. Which one are you most behind? This is my guy.
Yeah, I like all four of them.
Sure.
And I think they'll all be really good. And I think the NBA, these young players coming in, they're much better than what they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Way more polished, way smarter in understanding their roles. So,
yeah.
But I'm a Cade Cunningham guy. Like, I think he's going to fit in. He's exactly, when you watch Detroit, he's exactly what Detroit needs. Like he's a big, strong, defensive guy who can get buckets. He plays at his speed. They need a guy like that. They need a go-to guy. He'll fit in really well with Jeremy Grant, Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart. Like, all these guys, like, I think, like, when they won the lottery that day, I was like, perfect fit. Like, I think he's a better fit than anybody in the draft. So, and I think that's really important. Finding the right fit is important. It doesn't take 3 or 4 years to figure this out. He's going to get there. He's going to hit the ground running, and he's going to be the guy. And they're going to, and they should have early success with a very young team and be almost like interesting to look forward to, the same way the Memphis Grizzlies are. Like, you guys are a very interesting team to watch moving forward. Can they get that guy to be a championship level player, one player, so they can be that team? I think Cade Cunningham is that guy, and I think now it's time for them. It'll just take a little bit of time for them to figure it out.
When I bristled up on Cade, it's when folks have said he's Luka. And I told you, you know me, that's when you start doing the comps to, like, some of the best players in the league, that's when it feels like it gets silly. But then you see the other side of it. Some folks think he's Grant Hill. He doesn't feel like he's quite that athletic. But then I had one of our listeners throw a name at me that I hadn't thought about in a long time, but, man, was he a stud. I wonder if what you think of the comp. Steve Smith and Cade Cunningham. Is that one way off, or would that one be closer than even the other two guys? What do you think? Are their games too different?
It's so hard for, like Cade Cunningham could be a ball-dominant guy like Luka. Like, Cade Cunningham goes where
that
he
part.
Wants to
yes,
go.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, what would Steve Smith be like nowadays? Like, Steve Smith would run – and, you know, you guys got old hoop heads, and that's why I like making these calls. Not only you know him, like,
right, yep.
Like, there's – how many markets are bringing up Steve Smith? You know, like, not many markets.
Not many,
so that's, and
right.
That's why I love these calls. But I do think, like, he has ball-dominant skills where, you know, like those point guards who could dribble and keep guys on their hip, and it doesn't really matter. Like, the defense doesn't bother them.
Yes.
That's how him. Cade Cunningham is. And I think, you know, Harden's like that. It's a little bit more explosive, and, you know, it's really hard to compare a guy to Harden. But the way that Luka plays and goes where he wants on the floor and gets to his spot and takes his shot, yeah, Cade Cunningham does the same thing. Now, will he be able to shoot the step-back jumper at 38%? Like, I don't know. Like,
no,
that takes time.
Right.
But I know that as far as when they're dribbling and keeping those, the defense on their hips, both those guys are very similar in using their size and strength and doing that.
All right, how much, just because, you know, Gavone's got him over to ESPN's got him mocked to Memphis, you know, we haven't watched much of him, obviously, the Australia angle, but have you looked at this Josh Giddey kid? And if Memphis, he's the one guy, Brad, our producer here, program director, he and I both have said, because he right now, sure, 6'9", can play make, but you got a playmaker. And if he's going to be on the floor with Ja Morant, yeah, you got to play some defense and shoot the ball. Oh. And that's where they said that's where the question marks are. So you're kind of with us that Giddey's a little scary?
Yeah. I wouldn't take Giddey, no.
Okay,
not for Memphis. I think there's a lot of other teams that he could fit in. I think it's important. I do. I a lot of people, like, they give you, like, that old spiel, like, best player available. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. I didn't like when, you know, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers had Colin Sexton, then they took Darius Garland.
Yep.
I think that's repetitive. I don't think that's a good thing to do. So I think you got to find the fit. And that's why when we were just talking about Cade Cunningham, I think he fits in really well with Killian Hayes. Like, Killian Hayes is a ball-dominant guy, but not crazy. Like, you don't need – like, both those guys can play on the ball and off the ball. So when I look at Memphis, I don't think Giddey is the guy that they need. I look at – like Wagner, I look at Booknight, I look at Moses Moody. I look at guys that could play more off the ball and play with Ja. Like, make Ja better. And that's what's going on. Like, I'm up in Boston right now, and people are wondering, like, what's Brad going to do? I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put everyone around on the team is going to be there to enhance Jason and Jalen. That's it. That's what the guys are. You sign with the Celtics. You're on the Celtics. Your role on the Celtics, make those two superstars into top five, top ten talent. You need guys to make Ja Morant a top ten talent. That's what you're looking for. Getting to me doesn't really do that. Even though I like him as a player a lot, he doesn't do that for me.
No, I'm with you completely. We're talking with Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. He is with us. No Josh Giddey tonight for the Memphis
Grizzlies.
I'm with
him, bro.
If they stay
That's
at number
it.
10, we got him. He's with us. Yeah. There's no question about it. Now I want to go back to that, to the JV trade and what the Grizzlies have done, but on the other side of that, do you think that trade helps New Orleans? How much does it help them, Brian, in terms of adding Scalabrine? Right, they want to unclog the middle, get Steven Adams. Well, get off those contracts so they can go after somebody in free agency. But you get Steven Adams out of the middle, and you want to go a little bit more with a stretch big guy. Well, Jonas took like one a game, shot it well, but that's not what he is. Does that trade help them on the floor, do you think? What does that do for New Orleans?
So they can't come out and say, we're really looking at getting Kyle Lowry. You know what I mean? There's tampering rules involved in that. So when you look at that trade, so you're basically saying, like, we're adding Kyle Lowry, Valanciunas, and then we're adding it to our – and we're giving up seven slots on our pick.
Yeah.
And we still have Nicole Alexander-Walker and one more other point guard that they really like, Kira Lewis. Mm-hmm. So they like what they have. So I think that trade makes no sense unless – they sign a point guard for $25 to $30 million.
And Ball, too.
Ball's gone. So it's just a matter of, like, when you look at why they did that, that is why they made that move. And it's a copycat league. Everyone's going to try to copy the Phoenix Suns and the Chris Paul situation. So they're thinking that listen, they could strike out and not get Kyle Lowry.
That's what I was going to ask.
Not have a point guard.
Yeah.
And then it's a bad trade.
That's what I was going to ask.
Up.
If you're Kyle Lowry, and you got Knicks and you got them and maybe others – how high is New Orleans on your priority list with a new coach and, you know, Zion and Ingram? That's what I'm saying. Are you picking the Knicks? You're picking the Knicks before you're picking the Pelicans, right, Brian?
Yeah, but maybe they can offer 4 years,
a little bit more, a little sweeter deal.
Yeah. You know how it is. Like, one day when you guys have cap space, if you're ever going to land a free agent, you got to overpay for that guy. It's like, that's just the way it goes, man. It's unfair, but that's why today, for all the small markets out there, it's so much more important. These days are so important for Oregon. I mean, they're important for all Oregon, and you can't miss on guys. But, like, you really, when you're small market, you can't miss. You've got, like, tonight, them going from 17 to 10, whoever they take, Memphis, whoever they take at 10, they got a hit. It's got to be a hit. This is a franchise-changing moment for the Memphis Grizzlies. So they got to make sure this is the right guy.
No, we agree completely. Let me ask you this. You, like you said, you're up in Boston. How much pressure is there on Brad, or isn't there? I'd love to have a job, right, man, where I don't get it done and I get a promotion up. Now, you may not look at it that way. That's the way we've been joking about it here in Memphis. Is there? Maybe there is no pressure on Brad Stevens in Boston. He runs the damn thing, gets promoted. Or is there? I mean, in this role, don't you have to get it done? Isn't there going to be some pressure on this guy?
No, because
y'all love you, Brad Stevens. My goodness.
Well, I do love Brad Stevens, but I don't think that there's pressure. Like, they made the Kemba Walker deal for Al Horford. They gave us the pick. They got Moses Brown. So now the pressure is, like, can Jalen? Like I said before, like, those two guys, they have to become better. And so I don't think that there's a lot of pressure on him to make a move. I do think when Al Horford's deal is up and now they have cap space, there is a little bit of pressure for Jalen and Jason to recruit another big-time player, but that's not going to happen for, I think, 2 years. It's obvious that the Celtics have to take, you know, a step back. It's just the way it goes. They got to dip down a little bit to rebuild. And it's not a rebuild. It's like a retool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then but ultimately, Brad Stevens is going to be up against it to build a championship-caliber team or be in the conversation to be a championship-caliber team. And right now, they're probably not. But, you know, who knows how these things go. And you just never know how individuals are going to develop. I can tell you for certainty, if Ja Morant comes back next year and he's 38, 39, 40% from three, the Memphis Grizzlies no longer are looking to be in the playing game. I'll guarantee that.
100%.
So the pressure comes when the individual players start to really rise up. Now you got to start winning games. and you got to start putting the right pieces around. There's a lot of pressure on Memphis to get this 10 pick right because John Morant has the ability to be a superstar.
No question about it. And you want him to stay here and feel like he's got the pieces that he needs around him. Last thing I got for you, Brian, and we love these hits. They make us smarter. There's no question about it. Golden State's got 2 picks, 7 and 14 tonight. They need, right now, as opposed to, and I suppose there are players clearly that can help them right now in the draft, but seems like that's a team that would want to add veterans too. Do you expect them to be looking to do that, to be willing and dealing, whether it's to add a veteran or a rookie that can help right now? Do you expect them to be active and not just sort of sit and take 2 rookies at 7-14?
They probably will if no one's willing to deal. They got their eye on Damian Lillard and Brad Beal. They might even flirt with the Ben Simmons thing, but, yeah, they're 100% looking to – make a move, but you also have to be prepared for the other way. You're not just going to do a bad move to do a bad move.
Right.
You got to be ready to draft. If they're also really interested in Wagner as well, so he might end up going 7 to them because he's a play now type of guy. They don't need to go out there and look for a guy that's going to be a playmaker. They got that already.
Yep, he can help them right now. Brian, you help us. Thanks so much for these hits, brother. Look forward to the next one, man. You're the man. He is Brian Scalabrine. See you, brother. Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA Insider. Those calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up, and make the most out of the stop you need to make. What'd you think? He is right with us on No Giddy.
I think he's exactly
right
on everything.
It felt like that
I liked
Moody,
everything.
I think what we said in terms of the guys we liked were the guys he liked for the Grizzlies.
We're all on the same page.
Moody, Franz Wagner would be a good fit, which I've talked myself into. Franz Wagner would be great. My fear is that just what he said, that Franz Wagner is going to go number 7 to Golden State.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to get him. What would also be, if we're talking about, what worst case scenario, Franz goes 7 and then some kind of way, whoever it is, you lose the chance to get Moody, too, right at 10. He's in there at 8, 9, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be awful. And then you're stuck at a point where, because Gavoni's reported it, that our boy Giddey ain't dropping past Memphis at 10.
That's who they're going to pick. They are going to pick that Giddey kid tonight.
What's going to hurt me, Brad, if when we come in here tomorrow, is if those other two guys were gone and that's what was there.
Yeah.
Right. And here would be the question then.
Mm-hmm.
Is Giddey the better pick? And again, I got folks texting me all about how good
Josh
Giddey is.
People love the kid. They love him.
Is that better to do? Or at that point, if Wagner and Moses Moody are your guys, they're our guys, is it better to move back?
It depends on how much they bring to the table.
Is it better to move back and maybe add something and somebody else that loves Giddey, you let them come up and give you something for that?
Let me rephrase the question.
Because I don't know about Giddey, brother. I might be willing to move back is my point on that one.
Would you be willing to give up a bigger boat to move forward to get Wagner? Is he worth that much? Like, here's the thing. I don't value him that much. Like, I'd rather take a swing at somebody.
I'd rather not give up anything to get Wagner. I hope that he drops a 10, even though you don't think, the chances are no. Look, if that's why Golden State's such a natural trade partner, because it feels like is because they've got that 7 pick and that's where it feels like Wagner is.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've got some vets, whether it's Kyle Anderson or DeAnthony or something, that they would be interested in.
Yeah.
And so I suppose, Brad, if it wasn't too much, if I'm not giving up I'd give up one of those guys, veteran player, maybe a pick to go up there and get Wagner at 7. I think I'd do that. At some point, the Grizzlies are going to have to, consolidate this roster. We've been talking about it. At some point, you're going to have to.
You get a lot of these guys, these threes and fours.
If you can use, how much, whether it's a Kyle Anderson or whoever else, to move up the 3 spots and get Wagner because he's not going to be there at 10, I think I'd do it because I've talked myself enough into Wagner can really help this franchise right now, and I think still, he's only like 19, isn't he?
Yep.
I think he can still help you too in that future.
Here's what I'd rather do. I'd rather you give up the house and try to get that number 3 pick from Cleveland and just go in a bigger direction to get Mobley, because we've talked about this all week long. Jaren ain't a 5. So you put him at the 5, you got your 5, and you just go. I mean, I hate saying all in because Jeff hates that, so I won't use it. But, you got to go pretty heavy to go get that 3 pick, probably. I'd rather do that than move up a couple of spots and get, Wagner.
The stuff I read it feels like here's the point I would bring to that. And you tell me if you're down for it. I think I know the answer. The sense I get is that to get up to 3, you're going to have to give up Jaren.
Yeah, you don't do that. I wouldn't do that. And, say, and I'm see, not with John,
not,
by the way.
You're not down with
John. Is
half of our callers the other day? I think would be surprisingly would be down with that.
They are. They
I am. I'm not.
Funny,
I'm not
man.
Down with that.
It's no, I'm
the,
not either.
To me, it's having Mobley
right.
next to Jaren, who I've always said feels like the more natural four with the way he plays. That is what gets why mm-hmm. I'd be willing to pay a high price to have both of them.
I was,
to have the five and the four of the future settled for the grid. I'm not willing.
Yeah.
John might be, others, or many of our callers would be, to give up Jaren to move up to three to get Mobley.
No.
I'm not willing to
no.
do that at this
you
point.
You need both of those
I
players.
I still think you have yeah. something potentially
well,
special
here's the thing.
In Jaren
Jackson. I was blown away when we opened up the phones and then we had John on. I guess
it was half the calls. Give it trade was, JJJ. Trade him. Whatever you got. Trade Triple J. Trade Triple J.
The sample is not big. The sample on Winslow, I didn't need any more on Winslow. And the sample was pretty small, but we saw enough. With Jaren, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't year two. It wasn't bubble Jaren. But, like, you saw enough that Jaren going to figure this out, I feel Jaren will figure it out, and that's your four. So if you could put a five with him so that he's not playing the five because he's not rebounding, you know, he's
dude,
fouling
Mobley,
out of the
Mobley
game.
Mobley and Jaren could play.
That again. Is the pairing, man. And you talked about this early in the week.
Yeah, that's why I would be willing to pay a high price to go
but
up
you
to
can't
three.
Give
a high
up.
Price that does not include Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, you might include yeah. you might include Dylan. You might include... Frankly, I hate it. Bane, you might include picks.
Well,
they're all going.
We started the week with you saying Bane's untouchable.
Yeah,
you're the one that's moved. You're the one that's moved the most
me on this
week.
Listen, I actually think the kid's going to like be even more of a significant piece as it goes forward if we keep him. But
well, it depends on what do you get. Do you get a wing here? I mean, tonight. That's what I'm saying.
Bane is a serviceable rotation.
You want to make
young
him a starter.
Wing.
That's your is.
I
you
want to
make Bane the starting two. I'm not sure he's your starting two. He's a great role.
He's
player
one of
at
your
this
wings
right now.
If you have two dudes who are shooting guards, he's one of them. I think, especially if you get rid of Dylan. Like if you package Dylan, which honestly, sometimes Dylan looks awesome, and then at the end of the year he looked awesome. Sometimes you're like,
Dylan has great value to me as a not just a. He's not. He's surpassed just calling him a 3-and-D guy.
I also think you know, he looks
Dylan
different.
Brooks.
The thing about Dylan, I think, because everybody talks about Golden State, him on a team like Golden State isn't the same player. Like he has to do
he
what he's doing.
He wouldn't get those shots. He wouldn't
no.
get those shots.
And I don't know if he's capable
if he
of playing
those
that
shots,
type of role.
Is he still? Is he? If he doesn't get those shots, either second most or third, is
right.
he still as locked
Does
in?
Does he look like that?
He's done a good job of doing better with that, right? When the shots aren't dropping,
right.
still affecting the games in other ways. But if
being
Golden
a dog
State,
on defense,
where you're going to be third, if Clay healthy, all that, you're going to be third at best on the priority list in terms of shots.
Yeah.
And those, most of those, will go to Clay and to Steph. Are you going to be locked in all season long and be that defensive player
right.
you were for the Grizzlies all season long for them? That would be
that's
be the question for them.
Yeah, so right. that's I don't think
I,
they're trading
I'm
for
with
him.
You. I don't know about the fit there
right.
as opposed. But come on, Dylan Brooks is not just a guy who can go out and guard the other team's best offensive player and knock down threes for you. And he's getting better with the shot selection. He's also become a key leader for this team.
Right.
Like he's one of the key voices and faces. Am I saying
yeah.
that makes him untradeable? Heck no, I'm not. But what I am saying is he's got a lot more value than he did, you know, even a year ago when we were talking about Dylan Brooks.
Here's what I've talked myself into. Whether it's the 3 pick, the 7 pick, or staying at the 10th pick, I think whoever you're drafting, you're drafting a starter. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at 17, it felt like, we're taking a swing, and maybe, you know, now I feel like whoever you get, especially if it's this Giddy kid, like you're drafting, if you're who we don't like if you can draft this kid, like you're trying to draft him, he's like your stud wing of the future,
mm-hmm.
and he's not your point guard. Because he's playing point guard right now, and he's scoring 10 points a game, and he's slinging the ball all over the place, not playing defense.
I said,
like he's you're drafting a wing starter.
I said it the night of the draft, and Brian Scalabrine said it with us just again now. When they made this trade, the key part of it was getting the guy at 10.
Right.
That's the thing about it. We can, you know, first round pick for the Lakers, good. Add that to the war chest of the assets that you got. You know, it's going to be what? Six first round picks
mm-hmm.
over the next 3 years.
You got
that's
more
awesome.
Picks at this.
Three next year.
Yeah.
That's great. But key to whether or not this was going to be a success, and it's really why mm-hmm. you can't really weigh in on what the ultimate grade is for this trade with New Orleans, even though I think I'm not down that New Orleans made its, you know, that is,
well,
to,
they're
me,
not gonna get
to me, that was yeah. awful by them.
The
they're,
other thing is,
it is urgency mode, and that does not make them better on them. Sure, right now.
You said this about Lowry. There's no guarantee that they get Lowry.
They're not getting Kyle Lowry.
I don't think they get it. I don't think, why, he's going to go to the Knicks.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the Knicks because he wants to win. He's got plenty of money. He won in, You don't. You, in my opinion, you don't go from Toronto to New Orleans, even if the money's great. Maybe I'm said the guy who's not a millionaire.
No, no. I say all that to say that it should be exciting tonight. We'll wrap
a lot going
it,
on here
because we got to get to rundown. Yeah. But there's so many options for the Grizzlies here. They're sitting there sitting pretty, but the key has always been, and again, I go back to, I said it on the night they made the trade, you got to get something good at 10. The only thing Brad and I think right now that would be a disappointment right now at 10, and maybe I'd look at that trade a different way, is if it's Josh Giddey.
You're anything, talking about some,
for the most part, just about anything else going to be good, but again, it's got to get here, it's got to do well, and so we'll be grading this trade, certainly, for not just months to come and the entire rookie, the first season, but for years to come. There's no question about it. I'm with Scalabrine. You move up to 10, there's a pressure on you to get it right. The thing about this front office is it has gotten it right in the draft.
Something I've learned about you, Jason, working with you these past 5 years, is you don't like cornball promotions. You know what our worst nightmare is? They sign this kid Giddey at number 10, and you get all them Giddey promotions opportunities, you're going to be in hell. It's the cat who's 19 who can't shoot from Australia.
Can't shoot, can't defend. He's going to make plays. Okay, well, I got a point guard. His name's Ja Morant.
Hey.
Okay, and you're a playmaker on the second unit?
Giddey up!
Oh, okay.
Giddey up!
Playmaker
Giddey up!
Folks are saying he's Kyle Anderson or Joe
Ingles.
I
don't see this at all. When I keep
I'm sorry,
hearing
it's the number 10 pick, guys. I'm trying to get better. With all due respect, and Kyle was huge for this team last year, and a career year.
Yeah.
And Joe Ingles, great veteran out in Utah. But those dudes are role players.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more than that at 10. That's the bottom line.
Man, I pray if I'm wrong about this, if they draft a Giddey up kid, because, like, it's going to take a lot. He better start. Like, he better start.
How do you put him out there and he can't play defense? You got Ja Morant still trying to come around. He's got defensive deficiencies himself.
It's Dylan.
So
how do
you play him in the starting lineup and he can't defend right now, you know, grown men?
I don't know.
Okay, you can't is the answer.
I think that is the answer. That's why we're on the same page.
I want something better than that with a higher ceiling at 10 if I can get it.
I'm with you.
Hopefully, old Giddey up is not the pick tonight.
Yeah.
I know Gavone loves him, and usually I side with Gavone.
Parrish put him in a mock today.
But today I am not Gavone. No, I rebuke that. I rebuke number 10 pick you have mock draft right now. The Grizzlies taking
So your Twitter is saying that people are kind of digging that pick. Okay.
Nah, it's not just – I got folks texting me.
Wow.
They're like – Have you not watched Josh Giddey? Well, not much of him.
No, you keep
just
hearing
like
this
you,
angle.
So stop acting like y'all was watching the Australian League last year.
No, you keep
y'all
hearing the angles. You keep hearing the Australian in
I've
the Olympic
his,
tryout
know,
thing
and
all
what
that
he did
stuff.
Against Nigeria and everything else. And I've seen as many highlight tapes as y'all have. Can't tell a damn thing from those highlight tapes. What I know, he can't shoot and he can't defend right now. So how's he going to be on the floor with Ja Morant? That would be my question to you. We got that and many more questions to get answered before tonight's draft. We've also got this fascinating story from Dennis Dodd talking about what the AAC might do to the Big 12. Think big dog. It's changed my thinking entirely on what the new landscape could look like for Memphis, at least if this went down. If the AAC is indeed interested in taking not just a couple of members of the Big 12, all of it. Suck it up. Make it a super conference. We'll talk about that story and many more, including Aaron Rodgers' rant, when we get back. You're listening to J&J, 929 FM, ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.